This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
It stinks. That's what I do. I just think it's really absolutely, I think it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. We did not want people to have a piece of paper to vote. I've never heard anything like it before. And I just think it's terrible. Because there's so many people that don't have ID, and they're not going to be able to vote. And that's taken, I think that's taken their privilege away from them. I don't think it's right.
The ACLU said that under the current law, Applewhite still does not have the proper documents to be allowed to vote under the state law. Following an outcry over revelations that the Justice Department monitored the phone lines of the Associated Press and criminally charged a Fox News journalist, the Obama administration approved new guidelines late Friday for how the agency responds to media outlets covering leaked information. And that's the program for today. The newscast was produced by Catherine Comp. Thanks for listening. In Los Angeles, I'm Dorian Marina.
The time is 6:01, and you're listening to KBOO, Portland 90.7 FM Community Radio. Up next is Labor Radio at 6, and at 6:30, it is Prison Pipeline, so please stay tuned.
And private sector employees, families, and communities, protecting worker rights and fighting to improve the wages and working conditions of members since 1942. More information at www.OregonAFSCME.com. This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from SEIU Local 503 OPEU, whose mission is to improve the quality of life through worker empowerment and a progressive labor movement, and whose members deliver quality public services to Oregonians every day.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up. It's Labor Radio.
Hello, welcome to KBOO 90.7, your community radio. This is your Labor Radio Collective. My name is Stephanie Patricio, and I will be your host. We hope you're having a wonderful evening. Today, we'll be focusing on an effort to organize Walmart workers. But first, a little background information. The first Walmart opened in 1962 in Rogers, Arkansas, and within 5 years, in 1967, the Walton family owned 24 stores, ringing up $12.7 million in sales. In 1980, Walmart reached $1 billion in annual sales, faster than any other company at that time. Walmart had 276 stores and employed 21,000 associates that same year. In 1991, through a joint venture with Cifra, a Mexican retail company, Walmart went global, opening a Sam's Club in Mexico City. Walmart employed in 1992 371,000 associates, over 1,928 stores and clubs. In 2010, most recently, Bharti Walmart, a joint venture, opened its first store in India. In 2012, last year, Walmart hit their 50-year anniversary at the expense and cost of millions of workers' wages. The company employs 2.2 million associates worldwide and targets 200 million customers each week at more than 10,000 stores in 27 countries, including Argentina, Brazil, Chile, China, Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, India, Japan, Mexico, Nicaragua, Puerto Rico, and the United Kingdom. With me in studio is Bob Marshall from UFCW Local 555 to discuss efforts to organize around this global phenomenon. Hi, Bob. How are you?
Hey, Stephanie. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. We're excited to hear more about efforts to organize these workers. Now, Bob, before we start, I think it's always important to preface why so many of us, specifically you now being interviewed, are in the labor movement. For many of us, it wasn't a choice but a need. For many others, labor organizing has grown into a profession. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and why you are in the labor movement?
Well, I was always sort of left-wing progressive when I was younger, and then I realized I wanted to have a union job to get good benefits and good wages. And I had one union job, which was a truck driving job with the Railway Express Agency. It was called Brotherhood of Railway and Airline Clerks, and the company went bankrupt and ripped us off, and we lost a lot of money. And I wound up talking to a lot of other truck driver friends and got a job in a Teamster warehouse where I was loading trucks. And it was a publishing house that made books in South San Francisco. And then I was a Teamster member for 22 years and part of the reform movement in the Teamsters Union.
When was this? Not to date you or anything, but I just
No, that's fine. I'm getting used to realizing I'm almost 65. I joined the Teamsters Union in 1976.
Okay.
And as we were talking before the show, that was a time when there was some really horrible leadership in the Teamsters.
Yeah.
They were fighting with the United Farm Workers and actually undercutting the contracts in the fields in Bakersfield and Fresno and in the Valley. It was a sad time for the Teamsters. So I was a member for 22 years. And then when the reform candidate Ron Kerry was elected the presidency of the National Union in 1991 or two, I was interviewed and got a job as a union organizer. I was trained in how to be a union organizer.
Yeah. So you've been doing it ever since?
Yeah, that was about 20 years now. But I've been an activist for longer than that. I mean, I grew up. Speaking of black folks, because of the Trayvon Martin case, I grew up watching black people beaten on TV who were trying to get the right to vote, and not even to mention the Vietnam War. So it was a pretty turbulent time, and it made me aware.
Yeah.
Very aware.
Right.
You know.
These are devastating times right now, I think, for a lot of us and a lot of people of color, which I think is why it's so important for people to organize, whether it be, you know, in labor unions or, you know, just out in the streets. Like we saw yesterday in Portland, a lot of people gathered in the Northeast and marched against just a lot of blatant racism and a lot of things that are going on in this country. To kind of dial back a little bit, you've been with the UFW for the past 4 years, correct?
UFCW.
Excuse me.
That's okay.
Slip up.
You think about UFW because you used to, you know.
Yeah, I used to be with them.
Exactly.
Yeah, the UFCW.
Yes, United Food and Commercial Workers.
Right
and
on.
UFW is United Farm Workers.
Correct.
I've been there at United Food and Commercial Workers 4 years this August.
Awesome. And you're working specifically with organization United for Respect, correct?
Yes. The Walmart effort has a community side to hold Walmart accountable for their practices that, you know, like environmentally and with taxpayers and so forth. That's called Making Change at Walmart. Okay. And the Walmart workers themselves are not forming a union. They're forming their own organization. It's a little bit, not easier, that's the wrong word, a little bit less difficult and less legally complicated for them to act in concert under federal law, as all employees have that right, rather than forming a union, because that throws it into the labor board and court injunctions and time frames and red tape, very nicely said. So there's our Walmart organization, United for Respect, which the workers are forming, and then there's the Making Change at Walmart, which is the community pressure side to make Walmart behave and be a better corporate citizen.
So that's good to know. There's more than one facet to organizing around Walmart.
Yeah, there's a way to organize. If you want to change things, you can find a way if you're creative enough. And so this is a nationwide effort that's been going on for, I think, about 4 years. And recently, probably you remember, Stephanie, on November 7th last year, there was a big bunch of strikes with Black Friday and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Which was pretty cool.
Yeah, there was a big one out on 82nd, right?
Yeah, we had a huge demo in the pouring rain.
Oh, yeah.
It was so soaking wet.
That was bad. Worth it, though, I think.
Yeah. And that was nationwide workers with our Walmart organization, United for Respect, who went on, it's called the last November 7th on Black Friday, a couple hundred workers from around the country went on unfair labor practice strike. So even though you're non-union and you don't have a union, technically you can still go out on what's called an unfair labor practice strike. And so they were doing that on Black Friday, and it got a lot of media around the country.
Yeah.
It was Walmart's 50th anniversary, sort of.
Right.
We were getting all wet in the rain outside, and Walmart was getting all wet because the workers were telling the truth about their 50th anniversary.
Mm-hmm. So what are there? I'm sure there are specific things that Walmart workers are organizing around. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, one of the big things in retail is hours. People, I mean, the Walmarting of America is a phrase we've all heard for the past Lord knows how long. What that means is that I think it's pretty common that all of us realize that corporate America wants all of us to be part-time, the lowest wage possible, no health care, and as few rights as possible. And Walmart is really big on that. They're very strongly anti-union. They, in retail, people struggle to get enough hours to live.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the Fred Meyer, Albertsons, and Safeway stores, sometimes people have 12, 15 hours a week. You can't live on that. So the Walmart workers with Organization United for Respect are organizing for more hours, some sanity to their scheduling. So a person that has children or a sick parent or whatever or another job can know pretty regularly what their hours are or when they're going to work so their life isn't thrown into turmoil every Thursday or Friday night when they get the schedule for the next week. And also, obviously, for wages and for health care. Wages, Walmart claims that the average wage is $13 an hour, but that's when they manage in all the manager, when they factor in the managers and the people that make 50, 60, 80 grand a year,
right.
Of course it drives it up.
Throws off the balance.
The actual estimate. Yeah. The actual wage is somewhere between $8.85 and $9 an hour. And if you don't make, in retail, if you don't make enough hours to qualify for health care, well, then you're on public assistance. This is not to denigrate the Walmart workers. It's just to show how Walmart scams society. In Oregon and around the country, and in Oregon in particular, Walmart workers receive the most food stamp and medical care paid for by the taxpayers. So to finish up this thought, I guess it would be fair to say Walmart has become an expert at privatizing the profit and socializing the cost. They keep all the profits, and Bob and Stephanie and our families are on public health care, and the taxpayers are paying for that, which is a scam, basically. It's a ripoff.
Right. And then, I mean, then you get into like, not victimization, but I mean, I think a lot of people have a lot of more racialized thoughts, more, I guess to put it simply, like messed up thoughts about people that are on welfare, right? People that depend on public assistance. And
that's a good point. When the corporations are creating a lot of it,
right. So it's like this twofold thing where you are having to not only you can't provide for your family because you work. So then you have to depend on public assistance. But public assistance comes with its own stigma and its own red tape, even a lot of times that isn't accessible to a lot of people. I mean, I think those are really important points that you touched on and really complicated. I know you touched on it already, but why Walmart?
Walmart, yeah, this question comes up quite a bit because many, many of the corporations act like this, obviously. But Walmart is the poster child for bad behavior. They're the biggest retailer in the world. I think they are the biggest company in the world, although I'd have to look that up. So what they do ripples throughout the whole economy. And because Walmart workers are organizing, there's a twofold approach, the outside and the inside campaign, outside being the community and the inside being the Walmart workers. It's a perfect opportunity for the Walmart workers to call all these contradictions, point out all these contradictions to society. And the reason it's Walmart in particular is because from Bangladesh, which is a whole other discussion or couple comments, to Portland, Walmart, every inch of the way, every step of the way, is taking advantage of workers and taxpayers. And it's kind of like the question the way I look at it, Stephanie, is it's like the question the whole country's faced with. What kind of jobs are we going to have? Are there going to be Mick jobs, MC Donald jobs, where we have low wages and part-time and no health care? Or are they going to be sustainable for our families and children? And what kind of corporate behavior is acceptable? Are there no moral boundaries whatsoever to these corporations? Buildings can fall in Bangladesh and 1,200 workers can die and that's okay because I got my shirt for $2 an hour cheaper. Right. It's the question we're facing in the whole country, and Walmart is the poster child for this behavior. So that's why if we can hold them to account, we might be making some progress with the whole corporate accountability approach.
Yes. Yeah. Well, thank you for that info. So let's talk a little bit about the campaign or campaign status. What has that campaign done?
Well, a whole heck of a lot. The Making Change at Walmart campaign, which is the community side. In other words, if some community is facing a big box store coming in across the country, we help them with resources and guidance and organizers. And Jobs with Justice is also anchoring, to use one of those new words, anchoring this campaign with UFCW. And as folks probably know, many who listen to this show, Jobs with Justice is a tremendous coalition of unions and churches and synagogues and mosques and immigration groups and student groups and unions around the country. And we are holding Walmart accountable to their claims. So when they claim they pay $13 an hour, the community says, all right, well, just like in Washington, D.C. recently, the city council passed an ordinance saying, okay, you claimed that you pay $13 an hour to everybody. Mm-hmm. We'll drop it 50 cents. How about paying $12.50 across the board? And I believe there was something in there about healthcare. So Washington, D.C. City Council set a high bar for Walmart to come into their community. So what they're saying is, if you want to operate in our community, fine. How about hitting these values and standards we believe in? And Walmart has said that they're going to close three stores that are now open and not open three new stores in D.C. because of this 12.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So it's like, and they said this before, Stephanie, that they would pay everybody $12.50. Now they don't. So it's now you see us, now you don't.
Now they can't magically afford to.
And yeah, exactly. Yeah. And in Boston, there were two big box stores that were stopped because the community rebelled, basically, and organized. Mm-hmm. In L.A., I believe it was last fall, there were something around like 9,000 or 10,000 people who marched in the Chinatown area because they wanted to put a huge big box store
there.
Heard
about that.
Several of the people on the Walmart board who are parts of other corporations, you know, all these things are intertwined, kind of like a mafia family. You know, when you watch the FBI and you see those charts of the mafia, you could use those on corporations.
Yeah.
Three of the board of directors have resigned because of heat about Bangladesh and dead workers and Walmart scamming society. So they are having success, and it's growing around the country. And so is the OUR part, the Organization United for Respect, is growing. The workers not only did strikes on Black Friday last year, they also, about 200, maybe 250 of the striking workers went to Bentonville this June 7th to the stockholder meeting, because you can get in if you have proxy stock options and so forth. There was also a worker there from Bangladesh, a woman who survived the horrific building collapse, which probably everybody listening to the show knows about. And so there was resolutions that were tried to pass at the stockholder meeting about lowering CEO pay, driving up worker pay and safety in Bangladesh. All of them failed, but some of them got applause from some of the associates that were at the meeting. Mm-hmm. So it's gaining momentum around the country. It really is.
Absolutely. Okay. So now that we know what the campaign has done, where is the campaign now?
Where it is now is we had, in support of the folks in Bentonville, we had a demonstration June 7th. We went into some Walmart stores and leafleted some workers. They really don't know about the Our Walmart organization because Walmart tells them it's just a bunch of radical morons out there and the union's coming to get you. And so we are leafleting Walmart workers inside stores. We're having faith delegations go to Walmart managers about letting workers exercise their rights without any retaliation and so forth. And if anybody wants to help with that effort, could I give up my phone number?
Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be great. My name is Bob Marshall. And if you'd like to participate in anything, the community side or the worker side of this campaign, or have me come to your organization and do a presentation, please call me. That's Bob at 503-701-2636. And on a national level, Stephanie, some of the activists got fired for their activity. So there's a stop the retaliation, let people exercise their federal rights sort of campaign going. So we'll probably be doing things in Walmart stores pretty soon to put the heat on them to not punish people for exercising their federal rights in this wonderful country we have.
Right. Awesome. Well, not awesome that those workers got fired.
No, but
that people are organizing against.
They are, yeah.
Great. We talked about, where the campaign is, how it started. But I guess I'm wondering, what are some things that we can do to support these actions and the work that that workers are doing around, bettering their conditions and holding people accountable. Right. Are you calling for a Walmart boycott?
Actually, we're not. We're asking, this effort is a long-term effort. Obviously, it's going to take a while, to organize the workers and the community to hold Walmart accountable. Mm-hmm. And we live in these contradictions in this capitalist corporate economy where people get laid off. They have to get the cheapest food and commodities they can find, and so they go to Walmart.
Right.
So we're not condemning the consumers or the people that work there, obviously. We're asking the consumers and the workers to participate with us to hold Walmart accountable. So if you shop at Walmart, go up to the manager and ask him to allow workers to have the right to join our Walmart or to provide safety in Bangladesh so buildings don't fall on workers and get them killed. The best thing to do would be to call me, and I could mail you some individual information. Mm-hmm. There are petitions you can sign online about stopping the retaliation. So we're not calling for a boycott. We're asking people to make their voice heard at Walmart.
Yeah, and that was something that we were talking about before the show, just because the issue is complicated all around, right? You talk about organized labor, you're talking about many things, right?
Excuse me.
With Walmart, I guess I would speak from experience. Growing up, I saw Walmart from my bedroom window, right? It was within feet of my home. And so... And a lot of times, these Walmarts or big corporations are the only way that we have access to food, right? And that's affordable, right?
Right.
And so my question to you was that, how do we complicate that? How do we look at ways in which people can continue to sustain their lives, but also support people that are also trying to do the same, that are working under these low wage conditions without, a lot of times breaks, health insurance, what have you. But still, because you hear it a lot, right? Like, oh, you shop at Walmart, that's not good. But for a lot of us, there's no other alternative, especially when you don't have a car, you don't have transportation, and the Walmart's the closest thing to you, right?
And you don't have a lot of money, et cetera.
Yeah, exactly. So, I wanted to touch on that just because I think there are multiple ways in which you can organize around something. And it doesn't always have to be monetary, right? Exactly what you were talking about, going up to management and saying, I have my eye on you, or I see what you're doing, and I think these workers deserve a lot better.
Right, or asking the management, why do my taxes have to pay for Walmart workers' health care? Mm-hmm. Why can't the management and the people here take care of these workers?
Mm-hmm.
Or write your congressperson, or there's a multitude of things you can do.
Because
in Oregon, Oregon taxpayers do pay for Walmart workers' health care. At the same time, this whole corporation privatized the profit, socialized the cost, is resulting in austerity or social service cuts that I've been hearing about since Ronald Reagan's time. And so let me get this straight. I'm not really bright, Stephanie, but we're cutting libraries, we're cutting medical care, we're cutting prenatal care, we're cutting Head Start, we're cutting everything to do with workers and their families, helping them, but we're supporting Walmart workers' health care and subsidizing Walmart's profits by paying for those workers' health care.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting ripped off all the way around, right?
Not to
mention the horrific stuff that happens in Bangladesh, where the textile industry in Bangladesh is a $20 billion a year industry. Walt Disney, Children's Place, Ralph Lauren, Walmart, they all make product there, shirts, pants, men's and women's clothes. And the young women who come in from the fields make 14... From the rural areas in Bangladesh, mostly young women, make 14 to 27 cents an hour. When they try to organize, there are union thugs that beat them, and there's no safety. There was a fire, as you probably heard, last fall, where 112 young women burned to death in a Walmart factory because the safety wasn't up to par.
Mm.
And then there was the god-awful incident recently about the building that collapsed. So if I was a member of a mafia crime family, Stephanie, and I wanted to set up a corporation that scammed everybody at every mm-hmm. stage of the line from Bangladesh to Portland, I'd set it up like Walmart. Mm-hmm. But it's legal, so we have to change the corporate culture in this nation.
Right. Well, I mean, I can already think of what Walmart's response was to that tragedy in Bangladesh not too long ago.
The building collapse? Yeah.
What?
Well, some of the other companies, I don't remember the names right off the top of my head, but some of the companies in Europe agreed to form a conglomerate where they put money into a pool and there's somewhat of an independent monitor. The best independent monitor would be the worker organizations right. themselves, the people who work in the factory, you know.
Because right. Those are people that are hands-on, have the eyes right there exactly. on the floor, know what's going on, talk to each other, are communicating and know what's going on more than, you know, someone that's maybe managing or not even on the floor.
Probably more than anybody else.
Yeah.
But God forbid that workers should be involved in crafting a policy for their own safety mm-hmm. in this country or over there, because Walmart is really against any worker participation. So while some of the European companies agreed to participate in a conglomerate to mm-hmm. put money into a pool and have some sort of a third-party monitoring, Walmart, and I believe it was the Gap, have refused. Mm-hmm. So the fox wants to watch the chickens, in other words, and right. That's outrageous. Our whole country is based on checks and balances, and I think if there's one thing that we've proven in the past 150, 200 years is when the fox watches the chickens, it doesn't work out mm-hmm. very good, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
Yeah, well, that's thank you so much for all the information. Can we give out your contact?
Yeah, let me give my phone number one more time. So that's Bob Marshall. Making Change at Walmart, or talking to Walmart workers for the organization United for Respect. We do have something going this Saturday that I can talk about a little bit. If you call me, we're going to go out and talk to Walmart workers.
Oh, okay.
But if you could call me at 503-701-2636, I can fill you in. And I just want to thank you, Stephanie, for doing the show and being a young activist. As I get older mm-hmm. and older, I'm really happy to see younger people picking up the baton and moving on. So kudos to you for doing the show, and thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for all your work. You know, it's because organizers like you that we're able to continue the movement and do the work that we're doing today.
Thank you.
You know, we learn a lot when we're able to sit down and listen to people, you know, that have experience and that, know about a lot of things that are going on and are very well versed and trained.
I guess there's some benefits to getting older.
I mean, I'm looking forward to it, but right on. Okay. It looks like we have a caller.
Sure.
So let's take that call. Oh,
better hurry up.
Yeah, we've got 2 minutes left. What is the
about for our school children having a simpler amount of clothes for the school children? Like in Mexico, they've been wearing uniforms. To me, when we're in such an economic crisis, would that be some kind of solution? To me, as a mother of four children, I always wish that our kids didn't have to compete and wear such, you know, such costly clothing when in other countries they aren't. So I just thought I'd throw that out as an idea.
I'm sorry, you cut in right as you were in the middle of what you were saying. So what, just for the listeners, what was it that you were trying to get out?
So it's asking about our American school system, or maybe even in Oregon, if the kids could be wearing more like a uniform. It would help with the cost of clothing and this terrible scandal about clothing.
I mean, I think you can complicate that too, because how many parents are going to be able to afford like those nice pressed khakis, right, and the polo shirts, et cetera. I see your point. I don't know if Bob, you have anything to say on that.
I guess I would tie it to social services in general. Is that I think when you go to school, you should be provided everything you need, and if they need a uniform, we should probably buy it for them. I read recently that in Afghanistan, we spent $500 billion on the war there, and 40% of the people are malnourished. So the budget's being wasted on all kinds of different crazy stuff. But good comment about clothing, though, because we don't need half the clothes we buy in this country, probably.
True. Very true. Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you to all our listeners.
Thank you, Stephanie.
This has been 90.7 KBOO, Labor Radio Collective, in solidarity with workers all around the world. Thank you.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Oregon Southwest Washington Carpenters Local 156, whose goal is to organize workers, provide a safe work environment, ensure livable wages, and elevate the moral and social condition of its members. Information online can be found at ubc156.org. Please stay tuned next for Prison Pipeline at 6:30 and at 7 o'clock Hard Knock Radio.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
On Friday, July 19th, from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., tune in for KBOO's one-day flash drive fundraiser, a day filled with news and music from the equator to Antarctica.
Lecture topics will include climate change, gay rights, and an overview of African land grabs. Don't miss out on the chance to explore underrepresented music and news from across the Southern Hemisphere on July 19th from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul